To connect with the program, call 800-387-8025 or visit the show online at rmworldtravel.com. Welcome back to your RM World Travel Connection.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Rudy Maxa. This segment of the program is sponsored by the Timeshare Freedom Group. Now, how many of you would enjoy celebrating being rid of your burdensome timeshare? We all get it. The initial idea of a timeshare is fun and exciting, but the best 2 days you celebrate when owning a timeshare are the day you buy it and then the day you get rid of it. That's because after suffering through the annual maintenance fees and mortgage payments that suck hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars from your wallet every month, getting out of your timeshare really is something to celebrate. To make this happen, we encourage you to call the team at Timeshare Freedom Group at 877-969-2110. I'll give you that number again in a moment. Whether you've had it for 30 days or 30 years, they've successfully helped tens of thousands of people get rid of their timeshares, and they offer a 100% money-back guarantee. So quit paying those bank-breaking annual maintenance fees and outrageous mortgage payments. Call the Timeshare Freedom Group today at 877-969-2110, or you can find a link at rmworldtravel.com by looking under sponsors. Have you ever stayed in a grand hotel? Now, I don't mean a great hotel, but a grand hotel. My guest for our Right Stuff segment this weekend is Adrian Morby, whose book called Rooms with a View chronicles the stories and secrets of 50 of the world's most iconic grand hotels. Now, if you've ever wanted to feel as if you haven't accomplished a whole lot in your life, go to adrianmorby.com. That's Adrian with Morby is M-O-U-R-B-Y. Go to adrianmorby.com and read his bio. He's a former BBC producer, a novelist, magazine writer, an hotel historian, a lecturer and essayist on opera, and most importantly, the creator of the list of the world's 10 best martinis. Adrian, welcome to the show. Do you live in London?
I live in Oxford, not far from London.
Not far. Well, he's an Oxford native. We reach him today in one of his more exotic locations that he's visited over his life, Sanibel, Florida. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
And thank you for taking time out from your travels to talk with us. Let's start with the definition of a grand hotel as opposed to a great one.
Yes, it is an interesting idea because it came about very specifically at a time when people started using the word French word grand to refer to hotels that were perhaps better than just functional. The big problem up until the middle of the 19th century was that you only really stayed in a hotel if you had nowhere else to go, whereas the people who took over the idea of the hotel and decided to make them grand wanted to give you a place to live that was even better than your home.
I see. Now, you stayed in all 50 of these hotels. Are there more than 50 grand hotels, or how did you choose these?
It's partly those hotels that I'd already been to, and when I got to the point of having been to 50, I thought that was enough time to stop and sit down and write. But there aren't a lot more. There are some more. I mean, since the book came out, people said, hey, what about? And yes, there are others that fit into the category. But people aren't building grand hotels anymore. They're building, as you say, great hotels and great resorts. But the grand hotel really stopped as a concept in the 1930s. And so there's a very specific number that survived the First and Second World Wars that are still out there for us to enjoy.
Let's talk about some of them. What I like about your book is this is not a long-running essay. It's a collection of vignettes, really, maybe two, three, four pages long, of each of these hotels, their history. I was impressed by the number of people who eventually became, you know, major domos in their town by running a grand hotel or owning one, but who came to town maybe as immigrants or with no money and then managed to build and eventually in their life these grand hotels.
Yes, and I suppose the Monteleone family who built their hotel in New Orleans would be a good example of that. It was very much an aspirational thing, and in Europe it was very much the lower middle classes who went into business with the view of attracting the aristocracy and even royalty into their hotels. So it's a very aspirational thing. If you're a poor person, you want to do well, you really aim for the stars, and if you're lucky, you get the clientele along to make your mark on the city.
I wonder if a lot of us don't understand how many cultural icons or words we use every day don't come from great hotels. For example, Parker House rolls, those soft rolls covered with melted butter and salt, and Boston cream pie, developed, which is now the state dessert of Massachusetts. I didn't know that until I read your book, developed at the Parker House, which is still an operating hotel in Boston and one of your great hotels.
Yes, indeed. And the Singapore Sling, in fact, our whole gin drinking culture, gin as a luxury rather than a medical or an unfortunate socially damaging drink, has its glamorous beginnings in the Singapore Raffles Hotel.
And I suppose putting on the Ritz as an expression certainly indicates.
Yes. In fact, Cesar Ritz is the only person to have coined two words, putting on the Ritz and ritzy as an adjective.
That's I love that. I love that. Tennessee Williams, you mentioned the Monteleone in New Orleans. Tennessee Williams claimed he was conceived there. The number of writers and actors and actresses, particularly Elizabeth Taylor, seem to have that have stayed in these hotels is extraordinary.
Yes, I mean, it's very interesting. When I was compiling the index, which I did myself at the back of the book, and it was just hilarious how often someone like Ernest Hemingway cropped up, or Truman Capote. These are people who could not resist a good hotel. I mean, Truman Capote is at the Astoria in St. Petersburg. He's at the Plaza in New York, and the Monteleone in New Orleans, because Tennessee Williams claims, as you say, that he was conceived at the Monteleone, but that was just really to try and put down Truman Capote, who claimed he was born at the Monteleone, which he wasn't. But that's
these guys,
the thing that the hotels bring out in people, a certain boastful swagger that you can link your name to this famous building.
A lot of selling, folks. My guest is author Adrian Morby. He's the author of a book called Rooms with a View that you've got to get. We're going to ask him to stay with us for the next segment. We're going to tell you some true hotel stories. Don't go away.
RM World Travel phone lines are open 24-7 at 800-387-8025. And so is the website at rmworldtravel.com. Stay tuned. We're back after these messages.
Get out the map. Get out the map and lay your finger anywhere down.
To participate in the program, call anytime, 800-387-8025, or log on to rmworldtravel.com. Once again, this is your RM World Travel Connection.
Welcome back to RM World Travel. This part of the show is sponsored by joinhoney.com/RM. Now, JoinHoney is the free browser add-on that searches for discounts in the background whenever you shop online. At checkout, it automatically applies the best ones to your cart to get you the biggest savings. One of our favorite things about joinhoney.com/RM is how much better it makes shopping on Amazon, because it automatically searches the 2 million sellers on Amazon for the lowest price. It even shows the price history of the items, which means we now know whether we should buy or wait for the price to come down. It will notify you if there is a price drop. Now, if you're shopping online for travel items or whatever without this free service, you're missing out on big savings. It only takes two clicks to add to your browser for free. So go to joinhoney.com/RM. Or you can find the link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors. We're in the middle of a conversation with the author of a new book called Rooms with a View, a look at 50 grand hotels around the world. And these are short vignettes of these hotels. If you pass them in town while you're traveling, you'll want to know about it. Our author is an English novelist and many other things named Adrian Morby. You can find more about him at adrianmorby, morby.com. Adrian, we've talked about the grand hotels. What defines that? There are so many stories that were in your book, too numerous to count. Can you tell us three or four of them, what you discovered in the course of your research?
Yes, I think that, as you say, there are so many, but one is always attracted to the bad behavior at hotels. It seems to exaggerate human folly and foible. One of my favorite was Orson Welles at the Copacabana Palace getting very angry with his girlfriend on the phone and throwing a wardrobe into the swimming pool because as a way to vent his anger. And then...
Were you saying through her clothes or a actual physical wardrobe?
She wasn't there. She was back in America, but he was furious, and so that was a way in which he could vent his spleen. Mm-hmm. And then you got, say, Salvador Dali at the Maurice in Paris, who was self-consciously eccentric. On one occasion, he asked the bell team to bring up a flock of sheep to his room, and because they wanted to please him, they brought up a few sheep they were able to round up, and he fired blanks from a shotgun over their heads. Why he did this, we've no idea, but it shows that Le Maurice anything you ask for will be found. So that's that is quite a good example. Oh, another one was the Gstaad Palace in Gstaad, where there was a Czech defector from the ice hockey team, and that he claimed political asylum and hid in the cellars of a hotel while the place was being ransacked by Soviet police. So that was quite an extraordinary experience to have read about. And, of course, the important thing was that I had to also verify these stories. And that can sometimes be take a time-consuming business because there are so many myths about hotels. It's a bit like the theatres. What one person starts as, up as a story becomes a fact the next day. And so you have to look into these. Some of them I found, for instance, the hotel in Bristol in Warsaw, a very dramatic place where, because of the Second World War, as the Germans walked in, having just defeated Poland, an officer of the Polish army stood up and cried, "I will never surrender," and shot himself. And at the Hotel Grand Britannia in Athens, during the Second World War, partisans were going to blow up the British army, who were actually stationed, who had their headquarters in the Hotel Grand, or Grand Britannia. And unfortunately for them, Winston Churchill turned up just as they were about to blow up the hotel and kill everyone. And the partisans decided that it would be dangerous for their cause to kill Churchill. So they put that off, and it never happened.
Good idea. Can I take off a couple, because we only have a minute left? I love the fact you Elizabeth Taylor had a pink marble bathroom installed at her request in London's Dorchester, and that's where she signed her contract to appear in Cleopatra. I love the fact people know about the Round Table at the Algonquin, still a hotel in New York, where Robert Benchley and George Kaufman and Dorothy Parker met for lunch. Harper Marx, you said, once joined the gathering and asked why he was invited, said, "Someone had to listen." And at the Algonquin, Rob Reiner discovered an 18-year-old cabaret singer named Harry Connick Jr. and asked him to collaborate on the soundtrack of When Harry Met Sally. These things would not happen without hotels, would they, Adrian?
Absolutely. As I said, it's where people behave in more extraordinary ways than they would normally. I like the fact that at the Algonquin, the bar is still blue because that was the color that was chosen because it was supposed to be good to flatter your skin. And John Barrymore, the actor, who's a famous Algonquin drunk, persuaded the owner of the hotel to light the bar with blue lights, and it's still like that today. So that was one of the important things with the book, is I wanted hotels where you could go back and find something of that great history in front of you and experience it, not just read about it in the book.
Well, you accomplish it. My guest has been Adrian Mourby. M-O-U-R-B-Y is how he spells his last name. Check out his website, and he'll also lead you to his Twitter feed where you can find the world's 10 best martinis. Adrian, thank you so much for being generous with your time. Great talking to you. The book is called Rooms with a View. Check it out.
Connect with America's number one travel radio show by calling 800-387-8025 or follow the program at rmworldtravel.com. We'll be right back.